WDIY Special Sports Feature. Everybody, it's baseball time. I'm Steve Aronson. I'd like to welcome to the WDIY microphones Mike Ventola, the manager of media relations as well as a broadcaster for the Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs. Hi, Mike.
Good morning, Steve, and thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. Now, our main focus today is going to be what minor league baseball will look like in 2021 in the Lehigh Valley. But to set the stage, I want to go back briefly to 2020. And the first thing I want to ask you is, how did the decision process evolve to actually cancel the 2020 season?
So what ended up happening was, the reason why the minor league season got canceled was obviously everything due to COVID-19. And the resources that would have to take place here in the minor leagues were not ready available as there would be up at the major league level. You know, there's so much that goes into it. You know, major league facilities, they're just a lot larger, a lot more in tuned with what is needed to provide a safe experience. But, you know, we here at the minor league level, especially here at Coca-Cola Park, you know, we take great pride in our facility. And, you know, we certainly know we have one of the premier facilities in all of minor league baseball. And, you know, we've been fortunate now, and I know we'll get into it a little bit later on, but, you know, we've been fortunate now here two seasons in a row, you know, for the Philadelphia Phillies to choose us as their alternate site. So, and then not only with that too, but because of everything that went on with COVID-19, you know, making sure that, you know, social distance guidelines and things of that nature, it would have been quite an overhaul to get that set and ready to go. So that is why I think ultimately minor league baseball was unable to play. It was unfortunate because every minor league team across the land was affected one way or another. But, you know, for us here at Coca-Cola Park, we were able to pull ourselves up by the bootstraps and provide some entertainment over the last year, despite not it being baseball oriented.
That was going to be, it's actually my next, you anticipated my next question. At the same time 2020 was canceled, the organization was working very hard to keep fans involved in the minor league baseball and the Iron Pigs. What was that like?
It was, believe it or not, Steve, and to the listeners, it was really an educating type experience, believe it or not. You know, we got to learn a lot about ourselves, not only as an organization, but as individuals. You know, we're taught to really, you know, work hard in our craft, you know, whatever our craft is, and obviously being team players here with the Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs. But, you know, all of us had to, you know, develop different roles that we're not accustomed to doing. And it was really a valuable learning experience, kind of seeing for myself who works in media relations and in broadcasting, seeing what operations guys and gals do day in and day out, you know, bringing up tables, getting the ballpark cleaned, you know, having to participate in such duties as that, even as, you know, jobs like being a parking attendant. You know, we had events where parking attendants were needed, and for us as full-time staff members, so just even being able to do little things like that, that sadly go unnoticed, you know, during a normal Iron Pigs game. So we were able to put on all different styles events, you know, whether it was character cruise through, you know, and that was those were our first two events back in May of 2020, where people were in their cars driving around. We had mascots, characters, all socially distant outside, waving to fans as they drove by. We had driving style fireworks. You know, we had dinner on the diamond, where folks could come out and get a bite to eat as they had the ballpark as their backdrop. We had bingo, trivia night. So we were able to really do a bunch of other things. And the cool part about it was, Steve, was that we were able to put all the financial rewardings, shall you say, and it went to Iron Pigs Charities. So, you know, we were able to really focus hard on Iron Pigs Charities and raise some money, you know, that was able to be used for grants, you know, when our winter caravan hit back in January.
We talked about the alternative site as also one of the things that kept fans involved a little bit. It's different this year from last year, but what was it like last year when it was being used, Coca-Cola Park was, as an alternate site for the Phillies?
So pretty much the extra players that were essentially ready and available if, for whatever reason, anybody up with the big team had, you know, any issues, whether it was due to COVID-19 or any injuries. So they were essentially a pool of players that came to the stadium every day and and worked out, you know, whether it was specific baseball drills, but then also, too, there was a lot of simulated games where these guys were pretty much split up into two teams and played again. But the roster was so limited that actually a lot of the coaches had to put on gloves and had to play positions in the outfield or positions in the infield. We actually saw two coaches actually pitch an inning each just so that they could, you know, get the necessary at-bats. And also, too, making sure that the pitchers that were here weren't throwing way too much because they had to be readily available, an opportunity if they were to be called up to fill. It was basically a mix of veteran-type players and also some younger players, and it was kind of like another round of spring training in a lot of ways. You know, for those of you who've been down to Clearwater and seen the backfields at the Carpenter Complex, it was very much very similar to that. So, you know, we were fortunate, but, you know, there were still really no fans allowed. But, you know, so for us here as a staff, okay, we were fortunate to see baseball here every day, but it wasn't the same because fans weren't allowed into the ballpark.
Basically, they chose up sides. They flipped the coin, and you go first, you pick, and then you pick. We did a lot of that when I was growing up. But what was your biggest takeaway from 2020 in terms of, well, either the organization or the fans, or particularly the players themselves in terms of the opportunities that they had and didn't have?
Well, you know, I think the biggest takeaway for the players was that they knew that while being here, that they knew that they obviously were going to get, you know, that opportunity to get called up at any moment. And we saw that specifically with a lot of young players, guys like outfielder Mickey Moniak, catcher Rafael Marchand, you know, kids that didn't play as double A, you know. So even Rafael Marchand, who didn't even see double A in 2019, you know, we're getting the opportunity to go up to Philadelphia. So I think for those guys, though, it was very much Groundhog Day-esque, coming in every day and doing the same thing over and over. And then they come in, of course, they're getting tested multiple times a week, and then you go through all that. It was a very exhausting process. But they knew deep down that being the Phillies had these guys here, that they knew that they certainly were going to have, you know, an opportunity. As I kind of said earlier, it was a neat experience, but we're just grateful now that, you know, it seems a lot of restrictions are getting lifted. And we're getting fans back in the ballpark, and that is exactly what is needed here, not only just at Coca-Cola Park, but the entire country for all of minor league baseball.
Now let's get to 2021, as they say. As you just implied, it's a whole new ball game. We're waiting for opening day on May 4th. In the meantime, what's going on at Coca-Cola Park in terms of getting the facility ready for fans and for opening day, and even the taxi squad circa 2021?
So our focus has been now, especially now that as we are having this conversation, we are just days away from opening day here, which, of course, is Tuesday, May 4th, and a 7:05 first pitch against the Rochester Red Wings. So our staff is just doing everything physically possible to make sure that the ballpark is ready. It even is coming down to making sure that everything is cleaned up. Everybody in every specific role has their I's dotted and their T's crossed. So we recently announced our COVID-19 safety plan for the upcoming season, and it was a wonderful breakdown, and you can head to ironpigsbaseball.com to see the full breakdown. But it pretty much covers a lot of important things, such as that we will now become a cashless environment, that no cash will be accepted anywhere at Coca-Cola Park. Ticketing will be completely digital. It's a breakdown of as well to a gate entrances and security screening, mask policy, concession stands, restrooms, elevators, even as simple as something as a surface transmission, just making sure everything is being cleaned. So I can certainly bore your listeners and break everything down, Steve, but it really is kind of been the big focus right now. And well, not only with having to take care of that, but also, too, we've announced our promotion schedule. We're still waiting to see what our official roster is going to be, you know, for opening day, as, you know, we still have the baseball side of things to get worried about as well, too. So, you know, this is kind of where it's been a busy time here over these past few weeks and, you know, and even in the weeks ahead. I tell people all the time, once opening day comes and goes, then believe it or not, it settles down because the schedule of the season, it's business as usual then at that point. And we have to operate as much as business as usual, despite being a COVID-19 world, you know, because we've been able to really implement all of these different things that are necessary to make sure you, Steve, and Rosalie, you know, every fan that comes through the ballpark is having a safe but fun experience as well.
You said there was a litany of safety protocols. I'm not going to ask you to go through all of them. I think what primarily people might be interested in, masks, the mask policy, and the concession policy. People go to the ballpark to watch the game, but they also go there to enjoy a hot dog. So in terms of masking and the concessions, what's that going to be looking like?
I'll start with the mask policy. So, Steve, pretty much all fans 2 years and older will be required to wear a face covering over their nose and mouth at all times here at Coca-Cola Park unless they are actively eating or drinking at their ticketed seat. So unless you are, I'll use you and Rosalie as an example. So when you two are sitting down in your seats, even if you have a hot dog on your lap and a soda next to you as well, unless you are eating or drinking physically, you still have to wear your mask. So even if you don't have food and you feel like, okay, you're 6 feet away from everybody, you still have to wear your mask unless you are actively eating or drinking. But there are exceptions that can be made for fans due to medical reasons and provide written medical verification. Fans will actually see fans that will be wearing specific wristbands and not wearing masks because they have approved written medical verification of why they can't wear a mask. And they will be wristbanded, as I said, just so folks who are wearing masks have an understanding that because of really legitimate medical reasons that they don't have to wear a mask. Concession stands. So let's say you and Rosalie are waiting in line to go get a hot dog. There will be distancing markers that are being placed to ensure social distancing while waiting in line. Every employee that is working in food and beverage will be required to wear protective gloves and face coverings. Condiments and similar items, believe it or not, Steve, will be served using prepackaged servings as opposed to communal servings. So when you get a hot dog, you'll have your packets of ketchup and mustard pretty much delivered in that, handed to you with the hot dog. So you can't go to a communal area where you would be able to put as much ketchup or put as much mustard as you want on your hot dog, per se. And for folks who have tickets in the PNC Club level, you will actually have to order from your seats via the mobile ordering only. Food will be delivered directly to PNC Club level seats. So if you are up in section 200, let's say outside, you'll have to order from mobile ticketing. And that's for also too, like obviously the suites, they get a menu, they get to pre-pick their stuff, but obviously they still have to follow social distancing. So I know I just said a lot there, Steve. I'm sure you have some questions, but that's kind of a breakdown of masks and concession stands and what fans can expect.
You talked about social distancing in particular. What's going to be the capacity of Coca-Cola Park, and what will the seating arrangements look like?
So we are, as of per the state, we are allowed at 50% capacity. It could be anywhere. We could normally fit, like a sold-out crowd, let's say, is 10,100 fans. Though, yes, it would drop us down to normally would be around 5,000 fans, 50% capacity. Will actually be a little bit less because of a lot of the seating pods that are being put in place. And this is a great question by you, and this will help also answer why it will be less than 5,000 fans, even though that is at 50% capacity. Because when folks purchase their tickets, so for like you and Rosalie, you two are a pod of two. So you two would obviously get your two seats wherever you two have your two seats. I'm sure your listeners are thinking I'm picking on you and Rosalie, but I have to use you two as great examples here. So, and that is that. So when you two are sitting down in your seats, you'll be 6 feet away from other fans. So, and there'll be zip-tied seats. So those zip-tied seats are off-limits. And the reason why we zip-tied seats is just kind of give each pod, and we'll have pods of two, three, four, and five. So, you get a family of four that's going to come in. They're going to be able to sit in their four seats, but they're also going to be 6 feet away from other guests that will be, kind of seated in their section. No aisle seats will be available for purchase during this time, just because obviously someone sitting in an aisle seat, a lot of contact potentially with fans coming up and down the aisle, so there will be no aisle seats available. But that's what fans can expect, Steve, when they come into the ballpark and when they're getting ready to sit in their seats, is that, the zip tie isn't the best look, but at least I know no one can sit to my left or sit to my right, with you and your pod. So, but that's how the seating is going to kind of take place here at Coca-Cola Park.
I'm assuming the lawn seats will not be available.
Lawn seats, as of now, are not available, but we are continuously working with the Health Bureau and with the state, and we are hoping that we can have lawn seating as soon as possible. So, because we do know fans enjoy the lawn seating, and that is something that we are working diligently with the state, and not only with the state, but also to Major League Baseball as well. So, we're hoping, but as of this time, yes, Steve, we do not have lawn seating available.
Okay, we've been talking about protocols and the like. Let's talk a little bit more about baseball. What's the schedule going to look like in terms of the home schedule, the road schedule, and divisions and all that that we're used to, but will not be in play this year?
So, Steve, we're looking at a 120-game schedule this year. You know, we were originally slated for about 142 games, you know, give or take a game or two. So once things are to hopefully get back to whatever the new normal is going to be, AAA will actually become officially a 144-game season in the years moving ahead. But obviously, due to COVID-19 and our season getting suspended in April, you know, and then us having to start officially here in May, we're looking at a 120-game schedule. So that's 60 home, 60 away. Monday is a universal off day in all of minor league baseball. And the reason why Monday is considered an off day is because, one, you know, from a business side of things, Mondays are not usually the biggest revenue days. It also, too, is a great day for teams coming off a Sunday, whether they're at home or on the road, allows them a buffer of travel to getting them to their next city, whether it be home or away, starting a series on that Tuesday. There will be six-game series against an opponent, and there will be six-game homestands, and there will be a lot of teams, including ourselves, that will have either anywhere from one to two 12-game homestands where we would face two opponents, but each for six games. So for when the Rochester Red Wings come in on Tuesday, May 4th, we play them all the way through Sunday, May 9th, and then we head on the road, and we begin our road slate on Tuesday, May 11th. Our season begins on Tuesday, May 4th. Final game of our regular season is on Sunday, September 19th, and we do conclude here at home at Coca-Cola Park, I believe against Scranton Wilkes-Barre, the Rail Riders. And there's no playoffs this year, and playoffs are not taking place because of everything due to COVID-19, Steve, and then obviously to, you know, for major league teams, when they get the opportunity to expand the rosters and allow them to get an opportunity to whatever 40-man guys that they want to call up at that point. So, yeah, and also, too, for the Iron Pig schedule, we participate in the AAA Northeast Division, and we'll only be playing the AAA Northeast Division. So that is the Buffalo Bisons, the Scranton Wilkes-Barre Rail Riders, the Rochester Red Wings, the Worcester Red Sox, and, of course, the Syracuse Mets. So the AAA East is actually considered a 20-team league, but you have the Northeast Division, and then the other divisions will actually be competing against one another. So there are 14 teams that will be universally playing against one another this year. But for us here in Lehigh Valley, we only have to play our division this year, which actually sets up really nicely, Steve, just from a travel standpoint. No planes, just short bus rides. And also, too, it gives fans here at Coca-Cola Park to see a lot of familiar opponents. And also, too, for the Phillies who have to play the Nationals and have to play the Mets, you know, get a chance to see some young guys and older guys that will eventually, you know, be competing up at the major league level.
You make it easy to lead to my next question. Who will the fans be watching in 2021? That might be the next Alex Bohm, who did so well last year at the Taxi Squad and went up to the Phillies. Mickey Moniak was called up yesterday. Who are the Iron Pigs fans likely to be? Rosalie and I, since you mentioned Rosalie, who will we be watching this year?
Well, it's a slew of players. And right now, too, most of the players here at this alternate site competing right now, we expect to be wearing Iron Pigs uniforms on Tuesday, May 4th. So, in my opinion, and this is not fact, so just because we don't have a finalized roster, so I am going off of conjecture here, pitcher Spencer Howard, to me, really jumps off. He had the opportunity to pitch in the major league last season. He is the top pitching prospect for the Philadelphia Phillies. And, you know, for Spencer, who was a former second-round draft pick in 2017, well, I feel like come 2022 will be a mainstay in the Phillies' rotation. And I do think at some point this season, you know, he's already been up, that he's going to find a way to get up into Philadelphia at some point in the season for good. So, but I do expect him to wear an Iron Pigs uniform to start. But he is certainly someone that, for you pitching fans out there, he's an arm that you certainly want to keep an eye on, as well as to young Adonis Medina, who was another top pitching prospect who made his major league debut in 2020, spent the 2019 season with the Redding Fightin' Phils, the Phillies AA team. Those two, I believe, will be the two top guys in the Iron Pigs rotation. I do believe that there will be some notable names playing it on the infield. I do think Austin Listy will be a guy that will be returning to the Iron Pigs once again. Became a fan favorite midway through the 2019 season when he came up from AA Redding. He is someone that can play multiple positions, whether it be third base or first base, left field or outfield. Luke Williams, another young and up-and-comer, who had an invite to Philly spring training once again this year and even in 2020. He's another utility guy that can play all over. I know Iron Pigs fans have been yearning for them. They've been blessed to have some big-time first basemen, whether it goes from Andy Tracy to Brandon Moss to Rhys Hoskins. I think Iron Pigs fans are going to be excited about Derek Hall, who is expected to be the Iron Pigs first baseman. He's a big, towering, left-handed hitter that's got a lot of power and spent most of his minor league career in the lower levels, having spent time in Reading the past couple of seasons. I mean, actually was pretty effective during Philly's spring training. So, and then even in the outfield, I know Mickey's up in the big leagues. I could, you know, I'm wishing him much success. I actually expected him to be in AAA to start, but hey, if he's having success up there, I think he may stay up there. So, you know, I do think you may see some guys like Travis Jankowski, who was a minor league free agent signing, had spent some time at Cincinnati. And yes, I do believe that Odubel Herrera will also be an Iron Pig here in 2021 as well. So, you know, Nick Maton is another utility guy that can play the middle infield spots. And even I think, unless the Phillies were to call him, could see Scott Kingery back in an Iron Pig uniform as well.
Thanks for that, Mike. A lot to get a hold of, and kind of also leads me to my next question. You're one of the Iron Pigs broadcasters. Two questions. How is it you're getting ready for 2021, especially after being off the air for a year? What's it going to be like for folks who can't get to Coca-Cola Park and who are going to follow the team on the road, on the media? What will that look like?
So for me, having not called a lot of I haven't called really much of professional baseball, as you said, in over a year. Actually, Service Electric televised a lot of our taxi squad games.
We were on
back
it.
And you were on it, so I was fortunate enough to be able to sit in the booth and do a couple of games with Steve Degler, of course, who's been one of the longtime Iron Pigs broadcasters on Service Electric. So I was fortunate enough to call a couple of games, which was a lot of fun. So, you know, for me, though, how I've been staying prepared is I've been trying to, believe it or not, I haven't watched a lot of, I'm not trying to watch every inning of every game. You know, I've been so focused here, be honest, with just preparing for our season here. So, you know, obviously when the Phillies are on, I stay tuned into them. I read a lot of stories online. I subscribe to a lot of the baseball media outlets, you know, whether it be The Athletic, or, of course, I read stuff in the Philadelphia Inquirer and even our local stuff here, of course, just trying to keep in tune with everything going on. So, because my focus here is just making sure that I'm ready for what I need to do here outside of my broadcasting to do so, but also, too, how fans are going to be able to follow along this year. So here at home, you know, myself and Pat McCarthy will be back on the air. But what we'll be doing as well, too, Steve and Rosalie, and for everybody who likes listening to Iron Pigs Baseball, is that we will be introducing what will be, we're still officially working on the name, but something that'll be called something to the effect of the Iron Pigs Digital Network. So in light of technology, in the light of everything that's going on this year, all Iron Pigs home and road broadcasts will be streamed online, and that'll be via ironpigsbaseball.com. So, you know, in the age of mobile apps, the age of mobile phones, folks will be able to listen to games off of the TuneIn app. And minor league baseball has been something for years what they've called the MLB First Pitch app. And that First Pitch app, if you're to download on your mobile device, you take the necessary steps. And when it takes you to the Iron Pigs page, it gives you not only just pitching matchup of the day, but it gives you the announcements of what's going on with the Iron Pigs organization. And also, too, you can listen to Pat and I broadcast Iron Pigs baseball as well, too. So we will be, in the coming days, kind of giving fans a how-to on how to be able to download the apps and also to how to listen when they're sitting at home on their desktop or laptops as they're, you know, working around the house or whatever they got going on. So it's a new age, and a lot of minor league teams are starting to step forward in that direction. So we're excited about it, and it'll also, too, give Iron Pig fans an opportunity to really get more in tune with what's going on day in and day out, not only with what's on the field, but off the field as well.
And, of course, Service Electric will be broadcasting the home games?
Yes, every home game they will be here.
A couple of questions I skipped over when we were talking about the ballpark. In terms of being at the ballpark, giveaways and promotions, and when they first get to the ballpark, what will the parking be like for fans that arrive at the games?
Well, parking will still be the same. You know, we're very excited to obviously have our, you know, multiple parking lots. So folks will still be able to park their cars as they've had in years past. But then they get the opportunity to come to the gates. You know, there will be social distancing stanchions put in place. So for folks who normally wish to bring bags into the ballpark, bags must be clear, but there will be exceptions made for medical and diaper bags. But additionally, bags may enter which are not clear if the guest consents to a physical search of the bag. So, you know, security will be on hand, wearing masks and gloves, and use probing tools at bag checks. So for any ladies out there that have purses, you're more than welcome to bring them in, but if they're not clear, they will be subject to a physical search. So, and I know we went down that rabbit hole, Steve, of just everything with COVID-19 protocols, but even that brings us to the promotion side of things. So as a staff, no one, not even photographers, anybody, are allowed on the field. So what ends up happening, Steve, is that a lot of our promotions will be taking place on the concourse, and we'll also be utilizing the video board as well. So it will be different. But we still believe that it will be exciting for fans who enjoy all the fun in-between inning stuff that happens in between each pitch. They will be treated to a similar experience, but they're going to have to look towards the video board, look towards the concourse near them on where these activities will be taking place.
Are you going to be on the concourse before games to greet fans at all?
Yes, I will be on the concourse, but believe yourself, myself and Doug Heater, Doug, who is the field reporter for Service Electric's coverage of Iron Pigs baseball, he and I will be hosting inside the pig pen every home game out in the Tiki area in left field. So for folks who do want to come by and say hello to myself and Doug, we love seeing fans, especially too, if you want to, you know, if you get to the ballpark early, like you take a lap around the ballpark before you get to your seats, feel free to come by and say hello. So we'd definitely love to see you. And I'm, you know, Doug and I, we usually get rocking and rolling 30 minutes before first pitch.
So the folks who like to walk around the concourse before heading for their seats, they'll be able to do that?
Yes, but of course there will be socially distanced, you know, monikers and things put in place for fans to make sure that they know they have to be 6 feet apart.
Well, Mike Ventola, Media Relations Director for the Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs, thanks so much for joining us at the WDIY microphones. I know you've given our listeners and our fans and your fans a great deal to chew on, and we look forward to seeing you at the ballpark. And all I can say is go Iron Pigs.
Go Iron Pigs, Steve. Thank you guys so much. And fans, we look forward to seeing you soon enough. Thanks for having me.
Take care,
thanks,
Mike.
Thanks, Mike.
WDIY Lehigh Valley Public Radio. Many choices, real voices.